Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, anyhow, namaste, konnichiwa, guten tag, bonjour, half a day, salam, shalom, peace, now. Well, from the Pacific coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Industrial Complex of the Corporation of the United States, this is Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And I know the big story this week was the Bush Stake of the Union address, and well, you know how it is around a vegan radio show. As goes the stake, so goes the union. So I know I was supposed to watch the Bush speech. You know, this show now being on an Air America station, so I should do my homework and watch the Bush speech. But I opted for the noisy Hollywood march, whose goal was to drown out the lies, and you know, just going out with the good people there. And if I thought that there would be any truthful statement at all in his speech, anything truthful, like if Bush would have come out and said, quote, "Everything I have ever said is a lie," well, there would have been his first truthful sentence ever, and it would have been worth watching. But you know, I'm at the point right now where, you know, I just can't stand to look at the guy. When I see him, I get the same nauseous feeling I get like when I see a bacon cheeseburger. You know, I don't know which is more repulsive: Bush meat, Bush meat, Bush meat. You know what a stake of the union it is, actually, if we really consider it. It's totally mad. It used to be, as goes General Motors, so goes the country. But well, GM not going too well right now. Ooh, Ford not going that well either right now. And too bad, because Ford recently discovered vegans a little late. You know, last year I was at an environmental conference, and Ford executives said that their research, when they're targeting the ethically concerned environmentalist consumer, the bullseye, the center of the target, is the vegan. Of course, a bullseye would never be our target. We'd never be shooting anything at a bull or any animal. So they would just be the target of our respect. But the bulls are mad, if you haven't noticed. The cows are mad. The stake of the union is mad. Japan is blubbering about it altogether. Actually putting blubber on the table from whales and banning United States cow blubber because of our mad cow situation. The stake of our union is decomposing under this regime. There's just dead flesh everywhere, animal and human. It's like a stake through our heart. Yes, the stake of the union is poisoned, violent, weak, sick, and dying, and will continue to be as long as we eat steak. America is burning at the stake. It attacks the hearts of men and women everywhere. It's a cancer upon the homeland, the Deutschland. That's the true stake of the union address, brought to you by Outhouse Steak Back. I mean Outbreak Steakhouse. I mean, it's Go Vegan Radio. I have notes everywhere, so I'm just so totally disorganized today because I didn't watch the stake of the union speech. I wound up looking at transcripts, and doesn't look like Bush speaking when you see a transcript. You see the speechwriter there, and I saw that. Well, Bush did say we seek the end of tyranny in our world. which is great news. That would probably mean we'd free the animals from the factory farms and the laboratories, the fur farms. Gosh, it took him all the way down to paragraph 5 to refer to September 11th. This guy, if you haven't noticed, is our September 11th president. We should only be so lucky that he would work only one day a year, every September. Seems to work for Jerry Lewis, huh? Jerry Lewis concentrates all of that negative energy in raising so much money to torture animals in scientifically fraudulent animal experimentation, but he only works one weekend a year. You know, so if our 9/11 president could get his work schedule down to, you know, about one day a year, and, you know, well, some people say that he's already achieved that, but, you know, I don't think anybody can cause the kind of death and destruction that this guy does, working so little at it. Was that in any of his campaign speeches that we seek to end tyranny in the world? I might have voted for him because, you know, like I said, that could have meant an end to the tyranny of animal oppression. Gosh, wouldn't that be great? We seem to be getting a lot more tyranny in this country. A lot of people seem to be wanting to move out of this country to leave the Deutschland. And I just advise them, after reading the transcript, I wouldn't be steering the U-Haul towards Syria, Burma, Zimbabwe, North Korea, or Iran anytime soon. Was Berkeley on that list? No, I didn't see that in the State of the Union address. All of those countries were singled out by Bush as the other half of the world that's not the Democratic half. And, if Bush doesn't think you're in the Democratic half, you're at some point soon, you are going to be bombed into democracy. That wonderful State of the Union address here. It's really amazing because when you come down to it, considering what steak does, what meat does, and, you know, Al-Qaeda could only wish that it could do the damage that meat does in this country, killing 1.5 million people a year. Gosh, if Al-Qaeda came up with a bomb that killed 1.5 million people every single year, if you look at heart disease and cancer and stroke, all associated with meat consumption, I mean, you'd be begging Bush to spy on you, huh? You'd absolutely be begging him, please spy on me for my own protection. If Al-Qaeda had a weapon that did what meat does, what Bush is using for his excuse for spying, it's basically saying that. He can't go along with the law. That goes all the way back to 1978. What are we doing following a law that goes all the way back to 1978? That's his explanation. We don't pay attention to laws going back that far back. The law is what Bush says it is today. 1978, that's so long ago. You know, back then people pronounced the word nuclear. 1978, that's Bush's excuse. He doesn't have to follow a law because it's old, practically geriatric. I mean, that's a 28-year-old law. How can something so old, you know, still be law? The U.S. Constitution? Well, that wasn't quite, that's not 1978, that was... Well, the same numbers just jumbled up a little bit, huh? 1789. 28 years is too old for a law in the U.S. Constitution. Let me do the math. Here, my fingers here. What, 217 years old? Yeah, I see where Bush's legal arguments are going. I see where he's heading. He'll just argue against, you know, Constitution. A little old, isn't it? It's older than 28. He can just argue against all things legal, and if he can't get his way in court, well, I mean, I don't see why he wouldn't, given that he appoints the entire court anyway. He has his merry band of Reich wingnut Gestapo justices right there, right now, and ironic it was that that we get Alito on the day that Coretta Scott King dies. And she became a vegan in her life also, and Martin Luther King's sons became vegan. Yeah, but, you know, when Bush goes in front of the Supreme Snort for war crimes and criminal domestic spying and election fraud, all that stuff, it'll just be a Bush family judge right there deciding his innocence. And, by the way, his innocence is already decided. You know, whatever he does is lawful. If he decides something is legal, well, then it's okay. Then, you know, it's just all right. Illegal pollution? I don't really think it really exists in this administration. Actually, I think pollution is almost as much fun to George W. Bush as war is. You know, we pollute because we can. We pollute with impunity, and they hate us because, well, they can't pollute like we do. And, you know, so much of what Bush does gets hidden from the news. And I don't know if you saw this. This just came out on January 30th from the Associated Press, and it was shown on TV in Washington, D.C., ABC TV there. And it says, "Deal lets big farms skirt pollution fines." And the Associated Press writes, "The Bush administration will let thousands of factory-style farms escape severe penalties for fouling the air and water with animal excrement in exchange for data to help curb future pollution." The Environmental Protection Agency has signed agreements with 2,681 animal feeding operations in the egg, chicken, turkey, dairy, and hog industries. They would be exempt from having to pay potential fines of up to $27,500 a day for violations, either in the past or over the next 4 years. Any donations to the Repub All Cons from this industry to the Bush administration? Can somebody look into that, please? AP reported, it said, on Monday, the EPA said its Environmental Appeals Board had approved the first 20 of those agreements, selecting accords it thought were representative of the whole. EPA officials said those approvals set the stage for the remaining agreements to gain approval quickly. The agreements include 10 swine-raising operations and 10 operations that raise egg-laying birds. The board said it determined that the agreements were consistent with the Clean Air Act, including its penalty provisions. The Clean Air Act, which says we shall no longer have any clean air, apparently. John Scholl, EPA administrator, Stephen Johnson's agricultural advisor, said the agreements are the most efficient way of obtaining the data needed to determine whether the animal feeding operations are complying with federal air emission laws. Quote, "This is a very important step. This really paves the way for the study process to begin." End quote. The strict interpretation would be, okay, corruption in place. Let's look back at this AP report here. The EPA said its consent agreements with the animal feeding operations will cover more than 6,700 farms in 42 states. Another 7,000 farms are covered through Tyson Foods Incorporated, those that contract with Tyson Foods. The participating farms range from relatively small dairy operations with perhaps 5 dozen cows to large hog and dairy operations with tens of thousands of animals. Randy Spronk, chairman of the National Pork Producer Council's Environmental Policy Committee, or is that Environmental Destruction Policy Committee? Well, he said the agreements will allow the EPA, quote, to use sound science to develop practical policies that work for pork producers of all sizes and types, end quote. Pollutants to be monitored include soot and volatile organic compounds, as required by the Clean Air Act, and ammonia and hydrogen sulfide, as required by Superfunds, the Superfunds Emergency Reporting Provision. By signing on, the farms agree. agree to abide by clean air, hazardous waste, and emergency reporting laws after the data is collected. They would pay $2,500 into an EPA fund and agree to let EPA-approved contractors monitor the air. The fund would pay for 2 years of air monitoring at 28 to 30 farms nationwide at a cost of up to $500,000 each. Companies would also have to agree to pay a civil penalty of anywhere from $200 to $100,000, depending on the size and number of farms they operate. Yatta, yatta, yatta. It says here, without the deal, the air standards probably would take a decade or more to complete, EPA officials said. With it, companies gain some certainty about the science used to set emissions policies. Already, environmentalists plan to file suit challenging the new consent arrangements. Quote, this decision is a great disservice for people who live around large factory farms, said Ed Hopkins, environmental quality director for the Sierra Club. It basically gives these farms a free ride on the backs of the public. There's really nothing in this that holds the polluters accountable for the toxic air emissions they release, end quote. EPA officials say they retain authority to take immediate action. Like the kind of immediate action that we saw, with Katrina. They'll take immediate action, right? The agency began work on the deal after the National Academy of Sciences reported in 2002 that the EPA needed to improve the way it estimates air pollution from animal farms. Isn't that just wonderful, huh? Now, okay, so I guess, these farms don't pollute, do they? Here's something from farmedanimal.net. Dairy and pig factory farms blamed for water pollution. We shouldn't blame them. Perhaps we should just study them. It says here, concentrated U.S. dairy and pig farms blamed a source of water pollution. Dairy farms. Dairy farms, one of the largest U.S. dairy companies with operations in five states, is facing opposition from environmentalists and regulators in Michigan. A recent state-funded study notes that one farm houses up to 5,000 cows and produces as much as 4.3 million gallons of liquid waste every year. The study failed to link water pollution to the company's dairy farms, what else could it be? Pig farms here. Okay, it says the world's largest pig slaughterer, Smithfield Foods, settled two lawsuits with the nonprofit Waterkeeper Alliance and other groups regarding environmental protections. Under the settlement, Smithfield agreed to implement tighter environmental controls at all of its 275 North Carolina facilities operating under the name Murphy Brown. The stricter controls are focused on spraying of lagoon manure during poor weather conditions, which increases the risk of environmental pollution. But, like with global warming, there's really no proof, right? I think we need a study. We need a study, and so let's let them off for a while, and we will all live happily ever after with our polluted water supplies, huh? So anyway. In the Bush speech, okay, so we want to end evil. Also, it seemed that he was upset about something called the animal-human hybrid. It's something apparently, I don't know, is this a problem? I don't know. If he's against it, I suppose I'm supposed to be for it. The animal-human hybrid. I don't really know what that means, but... guess if animal genes came into humans, it could only improve our warmongering meat-eating species, don't you think? And it's obvious by now. Apparently, I'm outed. I am your human-animal hybrid. Did I give it away when I went around muttering to myself?
I know, you're going to be the hottest controversial vegan talk show host on the face of the planet.
Oh, and by the way, I am often reminded by listeners that this is a cooking show, so lay off the politics. So, my dietary tip of the day, my cooking tip of the day, eat Republicans, not animals. And for those who have tried my recipes in the past, BP in the San Fernando Valley writes, quote, I have tried some of your recipes using Republicans, especially for protein. If there are no Republicans available, can I try Democrats? BP, if you can handle something really bland, I say go for it. And Democrats are actually easier to prepare because they come with no backbone. And it is, of course, easier to choke on Republicans. Do we have time for just one more email cooking question? Because we have Kenneth G. Williams on today's show and Laura Alexander coming up. Amazing conversations coming up on the show. So one more email cooking question. Let's see. TC of Malibu writes, Dear Bob, I tried one of your recipes from your book, Eat Republicans, Not Animals. I know that you're completely vegan, but aren't Republicans animals too? TC, technically they are, but since they have no hearts and no brains, I say pass the ketchup, huh? Okay, well, today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, we'll talk to Kenneth G. Williams, who is going to join the show in, making his presence felt, and at times he will co-host interview segments and be a contributing producer doing health tips and all sorts of good things. So we'll be talking to Kenneth. He'll be coming to our Chicken Lovers party happening on February 12th at Animal Acres, Acton, California. And Laura Alexander also, too. She'll be talking. Virgil Butler was supposed to be on the show, but apparently had a bad accident, so he's not going to be able to speak with us. And he's a former slaughterhouse worker in Arkansas. He was promoted for his abilities at killing chickens. And we're going to hear about your health food, your chicken, your chicken, somebody else's life, but your chicken makes it to your plate. So we hear about that today on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And by the way, I have to pay for this airtime here on the radio stations. Free speech is expensive, and I ask that you make a donation to the cause. Go Vegan Radio is a project of 501c3 International Humanity Center. Your donations to this veducational program are tax deductible to the extent allowable by law. You can make a donation online at goveganradio.com. If the word vegan is new to you, it's V-E-G-A-N. That's right. We don't eat meat. No animal products. What? Not even butter? That's right. No eggs, no honey, no refined sugar because it's filtered through cow bones. And, so all of that, we avoid that, and we don't wear animal products, and we don't use personal products like soaps and shampoos that have animal ingredients. We avoid what's tested on animals. Goveganradio.com is the website. You can make a tax-deductible donation there, and the shows are archived there, and we podcast, or you can make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and mail it to P.O. Box 40246, and that is in San Diego, California, 92164. Thank you for listening. Stop eating animals. Talking about how delicious Veganaise is. No vegan kitchen should be without it. It dresses up even the simplest foods, like my favorite sandwich, avocado, tomato, and Veganaise. Or is it mashed up chickpeas, celery, onions, and Veganaise? Or a tofu burger with Veganaise? Well, I do know I love it on baked or steamed yams. Well, you think you'd read about Veganaise in a cookbook, it winning the American Tasting Institute Award? So I was surprised to see Veganaise in a book about stroke prevention. Yet there it is, page 194, in Stroke Free for Life by David Webers, MD, Chair, Cerebrovascular Diseases, and Director, Stroke Research Center, Mayo Clinic. And who would know better about a Mayo alternative? Try Veganaise, now in organic. Available at Follow Your Heart, Canoga Park, California, and natural food stores everywhere. Yes, indeed. Also from Follow Your Heart, vegan gourmet cheese alternatives. They melt. They're delicious. You can have pizza and enchiladas and all of your favorite foods. And go to Follow Your Heart. Veginaise started as a sandwich spread at this little restaurant, a classic place in Canoga Park, California, 21825 Sherman Way. That's at Follow Your Heart. And there's a wonderful Valentine's Day brunch going on there. Tuesday, February 14th. It's the brunch is served 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. You can get it vegan, a special French toast stuffed with cream cheese, and it's the non-dairy brunch will feature the vegan gourmet cream cheese and apricot preserves, also topped with strawberries and pure maple syrup, served with vegetarian sausage links and sliced melon. That's just $9.99. The Valentine's Day dinner, served 4 p.m. to 10 p.m., stuffed manigot filled with non-dairy asparagus mousse, topped with fresh herbed white sauce, served with a grilled artichoke, topped with a non-dairy lemon sauce, and the chef's special homemade garlic bread, and your choice of soup or salad. Follow Your Heart is known for its soups. So your choice of soup or a special baby spinach salad with roasted peppers, almonds, and blueberry vinaigrette. That's $16.95. For dessert, backed by popular demand, chocolate crepes filled with chocolate mousse, topped with chocolate sauce and fresh raspberries, $4.95. It's at Follow Your Heart, Valentine's Day, 21825 Sherman Way in Canoga Park.
M-E-A-T-S-T-I-N-K-S. Meat stinks.
That does, so stay away from it. Oh, I want to tell you about a great place in Manhattan Beach, Body and Balance, 808 Manhattan Avenue in Manhattan Beach. Well, from A to Z, it goes acupuncture, belly dancing, brilliant nutrition, chiropractic, facial, hair removal, massage, Pilates, yoga, waxing. And, and you can do a gift certificate. That would make a great Valentine's gift from Body and Balance. You can call 310-406-1910. BodyandBalanceDaysSpa.com is the website. Body and Balance, well, it is LA's only non-toxic, cruelty-free, organic, and vegan health center and spa. And they have a wonderful 30-day detox. I did it myself. And as you can hear, don't I sound less toxic than I used to, huh? And it's great because they Body and Balance, they will prepare three meals for you for a full month. You don't have to buy food anywhere else. You don't have to prepare food. Totally delicious. Everybody loses weight, and it's just so nutritionally dense. I didn't have my cravings for coffee and chocolate. I lost about 25 pounds. It's really a great program. People love it. They feel clarity. It's, you know, so see what it can do for you. I say call over there. They're wonderful people, Colin and Azila. 310-406-1910. Say that you heard about it on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. You get a 40% discount. 310-406-1910. Give them a call. The 30-day detox and rejuvenate program. It's wonderful. 310-406-1910.
Oh, no. Now you're going to give it to people. Animal burgers.
Yeah, but not a truly vegan in Hollywood. Hooray for Hollywood. It now has a truly wonderful vegan restaurant called Truly Vegan. It's right there at the Hollywood Boulevard exit off the 101 at 5907 Hollywood Boulevard. I am there all the time. I just love the sushi, the vegan sushi, the vegan fish sushi. So just a wonderful menu there at Truly. And they say it right on the menu. We want to make a positive and healthful contribution to society by using products that are animal-free. We're making a statement to ourselves and others that we're conscientious eaters acting toward the greater good of all beings. And Truly caters, Truly delivers around the Hollywood area. Call 323-466-7958, 323-466-7958. From breakfast to late dinner, there are great dinner specials, the shabu shabu soup that you cook right there. They bring a stove right over to your table. You'll be amazed at what a great vegan chef you are. Check it out. It's Truly Vegan right there on Hollywood Boulevard at the 101 in Hollywood.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
And that it is. the voice of the children, whose world it will be tomorrow. What kind of world will we leave them? Will there be any land to grow food? Any water to grow food? Any water to drink? Any energy? Gosh. We played Billionaires for Bush, huh? That was amazing. And gosh, if only we had some vegan billionaires to make donations to this show. I haven't gotten any donations from Mobile Exxon, the nation's largest energy company, which just reported a 27% surge in profits for the fourth quarter. The most lucrative year ever for an American company. Profits in 2005 reaching $36.13 billion. Revenues, $371 billion. I haven't bought any Mobil Exxon since the Exxon Valdez oil spill, but somebody must be going there. Exxon's revenue last year allowed it to surpass Walmart as the largest company in the United States. And actually, its revenues surpass some of the domestic revenues of some of the oil-producing countries like Indonesia. So there you have it. And it's your demand for meat that creates the demand for energy. You don't know how much fossil fuel goes into meat production, do you? Or you wouldn't be eating it. You know, the fertilizer and the transportation and the, you name it, the refrigeration, all of that, packaging. Okay, it's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, now podcasting. And Kenneth G. Williams has become a good friend to the show. And he was down recently when we went over to the farm, the South Central Farm, and does a lot of good work in the Bay Area. Kenneth G. Williams, how are you?
How you doing, Bob?
Great, great, great. If you didn't hear the interview with Kenneth, you could go to the website, goveganradio.com. It's archived. Kenneth is a former pro football player, a champion natural bodybuilder, and he's vegan. So, yeah, Kenneth, how's it going?
It's going well, man. It's going really good. Happy to be here, you know, happy to be hanging out with you.
Yeah, I see you. I see you on the front cover of Veg News now. So you're not only a pro football player and the bodybuilding champion, you're now a cover model.
Yeah. Well, you know, I thought, you know, I didn't want to disappoint my father, you know, because he always thought that he had real good looks. So, you know, I figured, put my pretty face on the cover, see what happens.
There you are on Veg News, looking really good. Yeah,
but
definitely.
Still, you know, I would, I'd like to thank Joe Conley and the Veg News team out there for choosing me, you know, to be on the cover, because there are a lot of people that tried to really get onto the cover of the magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad that I was one of the finalists, and mm-hmm. they made a decision to go with me. That's not taken away from any other athletes that are on the magazine too, because they're tremendous too.
Absolutely. And people don't realize how many great athletes there are who are vegan.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that, and pretty soon it's coming, you know. That's why I'm glad that I was chosen, because I wanted to be one of the first vegan spokesperson athletes to come out and destroy that myth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really to destroy the myth. That's what motivated me first, is to destroy the myth.
Mm-hmm.
And now, since the myth is gone, you know, now, you know, I'm seeing other things.
So you can be a healthy, high-performance athlete and be vegan.
Exactly.
In fact, it's preferable, isn't it?
Exactly. You know what? And it's coming. You know, there are a lot of athletes out there that are changing their lifestyles, their diets, and stuff like that. And they want to be this high-powered, hybrid-type athlete.
And you can be strong without eating meat, huh?
Hey, you can be very strong. I mean, if a gorilla could tear off a door with one hand, I mean, imagine, you know, what we can do as humans.
Yeah, that's true. You know,
if we use our brain enough.
The elephant, yeah, does, you know what does I mean? Pretty
I mean,
well.
Some of the biggest animals that walk the face of the earth are plant-based eaters.
Yeah, the biggest and the strongest, yeah.
Yeah.
They go directly to the food source. They don't have to get it from someone's stomach contents.
Exactly, and I'd rather get my food firsthand than rather get it secondhand.
Absolutely,
you
definitely,
know?
Yeah.
And I'm glad that Veg News had taken a great step, you know, because they did send a message out there.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Say, hey, you know, vegan athletes or just vegan people, period, or plant-based people, period, you know, they are strong.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. They are compassionate. They are aware. You know, we are athletes, moms, dads, brothers and sisters, cousins and uncles, and things like that.
Right. So people can see you on the cover of the latest Veg News. They can see you in person February 12th at the Chicken Lovers Valentine's Party that we're having at Animal Acres also. And you're also hosting Undercover TV. Tell us a little bit about what Undercover TV is.
Well, Undercover TV is a program that's based on animal cruelty. And people send us undercover footage from all over the country and even the world about all the atrocities that are taking place with all the animals.
And
what I do is I just introduce the footage and let people really see firsthand. We don't cut it out. We don't edit. We don't do anything like that. We just show it. I set it up and show it, and people are responding. You know, when I wasn't around, it was in 10 cities. Now it's in over 60-plus cities, and it's in most of the major, in most of the major countries all over the country. And what we're doing is we want to go mainstream with it.
Mm-hmm.
We want to see if we can get in contact with the HBOs, Animal Planet, PBS, or some type of cable station who would take it.
Mm. Must be tough to look at all the atrocities before you're presenting them.
Oh, yeah. Well, now I'm kind of used to it now, you know, because I've been doing it for quite a while now.
Mm.
So now all that pain that I was feeling and upset and crying about all this stuff, now it's turned into motivation.
You know, I know exactly what you mean. There's a video out called Meet Your Meat from PETA, and I watched it some years ago. I couldn't get through, and the original was about, I think, 13, 14 minutes. I couldn't get through the whole thing without crying hysterically. So
yeah.
I'd watch it a little bit and go back to it and watch it a little bit and go back to it. And now all I want to do is expose all of these atrocities to people, to let them see what goes into their hamburger, what goes into their nuggets.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah.
And I feel that if we let the people see this, then they'll be able to make a sound decision whether they want to contribute to the meat and dairy industry as far as their cruel ways of how they treat animals and how they treat their workers,
mm-hmm.
or do they want to go over to a more plant-based meal
with
compassion.
We're talking to Kenneth G. Williams, and Kenneth will have a greater and expanded role on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, as he'll participate in co-hosting various interviews we have, and contributing co-producer with health tips coming up in the near future, Healthfully Vegan, that'll be hosted by Kenneth G. Williams on this program. And, you know, just what we're talking about right now and in exposing what happens to the animals before they become, our nuggets, our KFC or whatever, maybe now would be a good time to bring on Laura Alexander, who is the better half of Virgil Butler, who has been in the news fairly recently, in that he kind of opened up the world to what goes on in the chicken processing plants of Arkansas. And Laura, are you there with us? Yeah, it's great to have you here with us today, and it's quite a compelling story in that, Virgil, and Virgil was going to be on the show today, and I'm really sorry. I guess he had an accident and isn't able to talk with us today.
Yeah, he had he was cutting firewood, and an oak tree fell and hit him on the head, and he's got a blood clot and a concussion. There's a blood clot forming in his brain. We're probably fixing to have to take him to ICU. The only reason he's not in ICU right now is my mother's an ICU nurse. And so he's been sent here for the week to try to dissolve the blood clot and stop the seizures that he's been having every day. And if it doesn't stop within the next week, then yes, he's going for surgery. But he's gotten worse today. He fell and hit his head again.
I
haven't been able to get him to respond to me since. So we're probably taking him in.
I'm so sorry to hear that. Virgil was going to be on today with Laura. And Virgil, living now with Laura in rural Arkansas, grew up in the Ozark Mountains in Arkansas on a family farm, raising animals, hunting, fishing. And he first started working in the poultry industry, catching chickens as a teenager for Valmec Industries. And after about 5 years of doing that, he left to join the military. And after returning from service, he began work at Tyson, a slaughter plant in Grannis, Arkansas. He worked in deboning for about 3 months, evisceration for about 6 months, and spent the rest of his years on back dock as a live hanger and killer. And he also worked briefly at the Tyson plants in Waldron and Clarksville, Arkansas, as a live hanger, and had a brief stint working for Cargill, hanging live turkeys. He worked at the Grannis plant as a line head, doing live hanging, killing, and training new hires to do what sounds like a very brutal job. Tell us a bit about the slaughterhouse and Virgil's job there, Laura.
Oh, it was sheer hell. When we first got together, you know, he knew that I was such an animal lover. I've always rescued animals, taken them in since I was elementary school, and brought home my first little scrawny kitten. You know, he just kept me in the dark. All of his coworkers, you know, were not allowed to tell me anything.
So you met, about what you, met you met, you were dating, and he knew you were an animal lover, so
right.
he didn't tell you what went on with his job.
He did not want me to know what he did for a living and what went on down there, because he knew how much it would upset me. And,
was he right?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, the very first time I actually went inside the building, I mean, just going into the parking lot, you feel a certain wrongness, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You ever gone into a place where it just feels wrong?
Right.
Well, this particular time, he had been off again sick. They often run sick chickens down there, and the employees get sick from that. And he had been off sick, and Tyson forbids the employees to tell the doctors that they've been running sick chickens. So I told the doctor, which enabled him to get the proper medication and getting better. But he'd been off for a couple of days, you know, getting better. So we went down there to pick up his check. And, you know, there had been so much evasion. I wanted to see for myself, what is it that you do here? The plant wasn't even in operation yet. It was between shifts. He took me back to where he worked. And he opened that door, and I can't describe how it felt. I mean, the closest I've been able to describe it is like the feeling you get when you go where there's people that have absolutely no hope and they're dying, you know, a nursing home, jail, you know.
The hopelessness.
Something like that, except magnify that by, you know, probably, you know, 100 times. It just hit me in the face like a wall, this energy. He told me that I turned just completely white,
mm-hmm.
and told him, get me out of here now.
Mm.
And all the way home, it was about an hour and a half home, you know, I cried, ranted, raved, you know, I just lost it, you know, couldn't believe that the person that I knew as such a loving and sweet person to me, such a good man, did that for a living, and that he was, you know, a part of all that, and I couldn't reconcile that in my mind. I mean, it wasn't even running at the time. I didn't even see any of this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And over the next year or so, he was ashamed, you know? That whole ride home, he never said a word.
Mm-hmm.
He just sat there, over, you know, with his head hung down and didn't say anything. And it was the first time that he realized how ashamed he was of what he did. He had always justified it by, well, If I'm not doing it, somebody else is going to do it. They're going to die anyway. I'm good at it. Not as many of them hit the scald tank. You know, he was called the best killer in Arkansas. I mean, he made employee of the month 4 times.
Mm.
You know, he was really, really good at what he did.
The best chicken killer in Arkansas.
Yeah, that's what one of his supervisors called him.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
because if you're not a good killer and you don't the blade doesn't hit the chickens right, then they go alive into the scalding tank.
Right. So you've got to hit both carotid arteries and the jugular without cutting through the spinal cord, and it takes a long time to get an eye to see it. When I watched COK's coverage, or no, PETA's coverage, I think it was, of that undercover Pilgrim's Pride footage,
mm-hmm.
that Virgil analyzed for them.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't matter how many times he pointed it out to me, I could not see it.
Mm-hmm.
But he could show me every one that went through that killer machine that wasn't cut properly.
Mm-hmm.
He could see it. Mm-hmm. And I
couldn't. Well, he has a trained
eye. We went over it, I mean, in slow motion, frame by frame, and I couldn't see it. You know, and it takes a long time to build up that kind of experience,
mm-hmm.
to be able to know when one is, I mean, they're flying by you so fast. You
right.
know, they're going by just, you know, they ran 186 per minute.
186 chickens go by per
186
mm-hmm.
per minute.
And they all have to have their throats slashed.
They all have to have their throats cut before they hit the scald tank.
Mm-hmm. Gee, we're so against beheading in this country, and that's our main meal is the beheaded.
Yes.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. So go ahead, Laura. So
anyway, you know, he finally got, during that year, it got worse and worse. He made more complaints. You know, there were a lot of safety problems. That's what eventually ended up, you know, doing him in. He downloaded some forms from OSHA and was going to report them for safety violations. They'd all been Lyme poisoned. A lot of these chicken farmers, if they don't clean out their houses or if they got a bunch of dead ones or something, they try to cover up the smell by dumping lime on them.
Mm.
One of his friends had gotten chemical pneumonia from it. It burned his whole respiratory tract as he, you know, inhaled it in. They all had nosebleeds, headaches, all that kind of stuff. You know, anyway, that was the final
slaughterhouse. Slaughterhouse work is the most dangerous job in America, isn't it? I mean, it's
yeah, it really is. You know, and it's just, and it's nasty.
Mm.
I mean, you know, he was covered in just gallons of blood and feces and. You know, you can just imagine if you're slitting throats like that, you know, all the stuff, and you know, they're flapping around and they're slinging things. And it was just, you know, once he started telling me this.
How appetizing that's our food source. You have 186
you know.
Birds going by, their throats getting slashed, and just, you know, rising blood and feces everywhere.
And all of the ones that are missed, I mean, I don't care how good you are, you're not going to get them all, you know?
Right.
You're never going to get them all.
So there they go, fully
there
feeling.
There they go, fully, and they go down in that scald tank, and they drown. And they inhale that water, and it gets down in there, and it's all contaminated. It's like a cesspool, you know? It's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all of the chickens that go through there, of course, you've got a lot of cross-contamination.
Of course. They all hit the same
you
water.
Know?
Yeah.
And the industry comes back with saying, oh, well, we have, you know, these high-pressure hoses that wash them off and everything, you know, and it just, the high pressure so much that it pushes it down beneath the skin, even deeper into the chicken, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And... You know, and then you've got the stuff that, you know, goes behind the inspector's back. You know, something is pulled off as condemned, you know, like something that, you know, one of those that's gone through the scald tank or something else like that. You know, maybe it's got a tumor or something on it, you know, or sometimes he found some that, you know, had extra heads you know. We called them Franken chickens, mm-hmm. which they didn't really like very much, but, you know, yeah. a lot of things they didn't like. Mm-hmm. You know, but the quality control comes behind the USDA inspector and pulls the tag off, and they run them, they ship it out anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, he was aware of somebody that sat there all weekend and it rotted, and it shipped out. The supervisor just laughed and said, "Oh, when KFC gets their seasonings on there, then nobody ever knows the difference." Mm. You know,
not an appetizing vision at all.
No, I mean it was just awful. The more he told me, the more repulsed I got, and then the more guilty I felt that, you know, he had been supporting me. I'm disabled, you know, can't work.
Mm-hmm.
Hit by an 18-wheeler. I've had several surgeries. I can't work. So he was, I mean, you know, the idea that he was earning money doing this and supporting, I felt guilt. I felt responsible.
Right. Here you are, an animal lover, and you're living off of the wages of chicken killing.
Yeah, and you know, and never knew. You know, I just never knew. I was one of those millions of people out there in the public, you know, that don't know what goes on in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
I was just shocked, you know. And, you know, we couldn't get anybody to listen to him about OSHA, about the safety violations, of course, after he'd been fired. He's just a disgruntled employee. They're not going to listen to him, without the other coworkers signing statements, which all of them got afraid to, you know. I mean, he was fired as an example to shut everybody else up.
Mm-hmm.
They tell him, "Oh, you can come back in 6 months again." They do that a lot, you know.
Mm.
You come back at new higher pay, and they've got an experienced person.
Yeah,
Laura, several dollars an hour less.
We probably are going to have about 2 or 3 minutes left. So, but
okay,
yeah, if you can.
Anyway, you know, you've got all this, you know, contamination. But you've also got all these frustrated workers, you know. That's another thing, you know, that they take it out on the chickens. They see it as Tyson property, and they do, I mean, awful things, you know. Not besides the things that are supervisor ordered, like, you know, breaking their legs, or if one is hung by one leg, you just pull it off and, you know, pull the chicken's leg off and throw it on the floor.
Mm.
You know, things like that. There's also a lot of little pranks they play when the line gets shut down. You know, there was like one guy that decided during a break time he would make a little train of chickens. Take one chicken's head, put it up the butt of the chicken in front of it, and then so on and so on and so on. You know, they couldn't pull their heads out.
Hmm.
You know.
So it leads to abusive behavior against the chickens and alcoholism
and then they shut down. The only way you could do that job is to shut down your emotions. He called it flicking a switch, putting his emotions in his pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads you to not caring about people.
Mm-hmm.
And thinking that if you are capable of this, then everyone is.
Right.
And so you don't trust anyone. And you think that, well, you know, everybody's got this inside of them. You know, and you just slowly but surely, I mean, you're so used to violence, you know, what is it to go home and beat the wife and kids or kick your dog?
Right, and that happens a lot. Hold on the line, Laura Alexander. Oh, and by the way, and then the story came out and people picked up on it through Virgil. What's the website that people can go to? And hold on, what is the website? And
Cyberactivist, blogspot.com.
So it's cyberactivist.blogspot.com, right?
Yes.
Cyberactivist.blogspot.com. I have to get into a few announcements here. Hold on the line, and let's see if we can come back to you. If not, I'm going to have you come back, and I hope that Virgil feels better, and we'll come back also. We really, our thoughts are with him for a swift recovery. Because
he really wanted to do this. We listened to your show yesterday on the Bush and Cheney Cheney thing, your first Air America, and we just laughed. We couldn't wait to be on here, and it just broke his heart that he couldn't do it today.
Let's have him on. Let's have a recovery, and let's have him on. So,
definitely.
So hang on for me here a second. I want people to know that, you know, if you're repulsed by chicken, you can eat at a place like California Vegan, where, you know, it's totally satisfying. No chicken on the menu. A selection to satisfy every vegan taste. You can choose from 17 appetizers, from dumplings to spring rolls, grilled potatoes with chef's sauce to pepper steak and pepper steak barbecue, and over a dozen more choices. 10 soup selections, including traditional Thai favorites featuring coconut milk, lemongrass, and spices. 7 salads on the menu, including high protein. 19 a la carte items. The soy fish, new orange chicken, and pad thai are popular. That's orange chicken, but it's vegan. And you have 14 other choices, along with 10 rice and noodle dishes, 5 curries, 7 burgers, 6 wraps, 3 pancake dishes, 3 chef specials, coconut on paradise, California sizzling hot platter, and mom's pla kung, a soy shrimp dish. How about a banana spring roll or a carrot cake for dessert? California Vegan, 12113 Santa Monica Boulevard near Bundy in Los Angeles. Call 310-207-4798. Lunch special, $6.95. Dinner special, $10.95. Organic when possible, no white sugar or MSG. Visit CaliforniaVegan.com. CaliforniaVegan.com. Fast free delivery in 4-mile radius. Free spring roll with delivery over $20. California Vegan, 11 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. every day. 12113 Santa Monica Boulevard near Bundy. 310-207-4798. CaliforniaVegan.com. CaliforniaVegan.com. It says there right on the menu, vegan means the way of peace, kindness to animals. Don't eat them or kill them for clothing, food, or any means of existence. Visit CaliforniaVegan.com. Very good words. And I invite you to visit Animal Acres next Sunday, February 12th. That's our day for the Chicken Lovers Valentine's Party. Let's celebrate Love Chickens, Don't Eat Them Day, the Sunday before Valentine's Day every year, to show a little love for the most unloved creatures on Earth. Animal Acres in Acton, 5200 Escondido Canyon Road. We have live music, great harp player Stephanie Bennett. We have reggae music happening with the people. Great food. You'll love our spectacular vegan chicken lovers menu, including chicken salad, grandma's chicken soup, barbecue chicken, chicken fajitas, chicken masala curry, sesame chicken, all prepared with chicken-free chicken by special guest chef Carrie Brown. Special thanks, Follow Your Heart, Veginaise, Vegan Gourmet Cheese Alternatives. Plus, we have organic rice and organic raw salad. Lots of good things going on. Oh, it's a Valentine's party, so we have chocolate cake for dessert from Madeline Bistro in Tarzana. So this will be a great event. It's a benefit for GoVeganRadio.com. Help us pay for the airtime as we need to do here. You can use PayPal to pay, meatfreeamerica@yahoo.com. And let's see. It's adults, $30. Kids under 15, $20. Meat eaters, $25. Okay? And you can go to the website, goveganradio.com. Email me with questions, bob@goveganradio.com. Or call me, 818-623-6477. 818-623-6477. Ed Begley Jr. will be there. Kenneth G. Williams. Come out and say hi to Kenneth G. Williams. That is Sunday, February 12th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Animal Acres. You can go to animalacres.org for information on how to get there. So we hope to see you there next Sunday. It will be a blast. I'm giving away weekend accommodations in San Francisco at the Donatello Hotel, along with dinner for two at Millennium Restaurant. Also accommodations in Costa Rica. So please make sure you come out to this event. If you need more information, bob@goveganradio.com, 818-623-6477. Tomorrow, T. Colin Campbell is at the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco at 595 Market Street, and that's the second floor. He did the China study, the most comprehensive study on the relationship of diet and health. That's tomorrow at noon. Let's see. Chinese New Year celebration at the Golden Era Restaurant next Saturday, February 11th, 2 p.m. San Francisco Vegetarian Society sponsored, 415-864-5487. Valentine's Day. Oh, gosh, we're running out of time. Valentine's Day, meet me at the site of the seals in La Jolla, okay? Meet me in La Jolla at 11:30 a.m. We're forming a human heart and giving away chocolate bars. Join me. We form a heart for the seals on Valentine's Day. Thanks for listening. Go to goveganradio.com.